Guess what? There is a Dad Podcast fan page created by our very own Butcher Drew. So go to Facebook.com/Dad Podcast. There's a link right there in the timeline. And do what the cool kids are doing. Also, we're smoking pot by the Auto Shop BT Dubs.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun. And get crazy, have some fun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day?
It doesn't get better than this. Sadly, very sadly, it doesn't get better than this.
Well, that's good. If you're, wait a minute, are you on a high peak or a low peak?
I'm delighted to be here.
You're delighted to be here. Yes. Does not get better than this.
No.
First 5 seconds into the show. Listen, I posted this on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you want to see it, go to Facebook.com/dadpodcast. But I had a little bit of a situation with my children. Here's the thing. It was an emotional roller coaster for me yesterday.
Uh-oh.
I took the boys. Natalie went back to work. I finally had a weekend off.
Yeah.
So I hung out and just vegged in a way that is more inappropriate than adult man with two children should ever partake in.
Yes.
Number one, I got the Batman Arkham Knight video game. And
color me jealous.
Completed almost all of it. Yeah.
Whoa.
No bueno. Because here's what was happening. Yeah. I was coming home from work at 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night all last week, and then would not want to go right to sleep, especially when I ride my bike home from work. I got to cool off a little bit.
You're
so
jacked up.
I sit down, and I play the game, and the next thing I know, it's like 1 in the morning, and I'm like, I'm a fucking moron. And so I did that. Number two, on Saturday, Jack was invited to a birthday party. Mm. And let me just say this. It was very we went to a part like a pool party.
Oh, okay.
And this lady who threw this party, he has a friend in his class that they call them each other frenemies because they're really close, but at the same time they will turn on each other on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And they, let's just put it this way. I don't want this to sound disrespectful because it is not. It is always my fear when I say things though. Here's the thing. I'm not always afraid of being disrespectful. I'm only afraid of being disrespectful, but it is not my intent. Fair to say?
Yes.
So the lady that is there, let's just say that they are of a different culture than I am.
Okay.
Right? So I jokingly said to this woman, I said, what does he like? You know, and she said, oh, bring your swimsuits. We're doing a pool party in or whatever it said on the invitation. I was like, no problem.
I wonder if everybody's as worried as I am.
So I said, I go, happy to do it. This is all via text. I said, happy to do it. Just a heads up, I roll in a Speedo. Is that inappropriate to wear to a toddler's birthday party?
Okay.
She goes, and she put in a chanting voice, do it, do it, do it. I said, you know, you think it's funny until my wife serves me with divorce papers.
Right.
But,
or until you walk up in a Speedo.
No, I think she would have been on board. I am hot. Listen, let me tell you something. Even though it's only on the internet, celebrity gets you a lot of leeway. You know what I mean? Like, I get a lot of leash.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just the fame and the power makes up for my lack of my dad bod downfall.
You see
what I'm saying?
I see it. It compensates for other inadequacies.
But this chick, so they go, here's the thing. In L.A., it is hard to have a birthday party, man. I don't know if it's like this in other parts of the country or world. You know, we're global.
Sure.
Why the fuck not?
Sure.
But
g'day,
she had
mate.
Rise up lights. Who told me that? Bill taught me that. That if you say raise up lights, it's how you say razor blades in Australia.
Rise up lights.
Rise up lights. So they have a snow cone machine. There's a cotton candy maker at this party.
Right.
They're barbecuing burgers, hot dogs, and chicken. There's a lifeguard. on duty at the party that is not there with the apartment building.
Oh, but there is a pool, right? I forgot
there's
a pool party.
Yeah, just lifeguard just standing by in case somebody chokes on a chicken wing.
The drinks were so big, they had a lifeguard.
She had a mini cooler filled with sangria, and she put Remy Martin in the sangria.
Oh, my God. Mini cooler, not a Mini Cooper.
No. Okay. I wish it was a Mini Cooper. Right. But it was great because she's like, who wants a drink? You know, and I'm like, let's do this right. Woo! Target birthday party, bitch! So then she gives Natalie a drink, even though Natalie said, I'm good, but she wasn't paying attention. She's just handing out adult beverages with chunks of pears in them. And so Natalie takes a sip. She goes, that's good. I'm like, oh, shit, somebody's getting late today. So anyway, so we're there. We're in the pool party and everything. And we were there early. We made the fatal flaw of going, it takes a half hour to get anywhere with a toddler, especially in Los Angeles.
Right.
So we load everybody up a half hour beforehand. By the way, I'd spent the entire morning playing Batman. Like a jackass.
Yeah.
And my wife couldn't have been a better champ. Oh, my gosh. She was, like, handling everything and not bitter about it at all, to the point where I thought that maybe something had gone wrong, that she was trying to get some kind of credit, because I was being extremely irresponsible, probably more irresponsible than I have been in my entire life, to be honest with you. Shirking responsibilities left and right. I think at one point she said, do you have plans for dinner? I was like, nope. Didn't even break eye contact with the flat panel, high definition, Dark Knight raising hell in Gotham. Oh, my God. It's a beautiful game. If anybody is listening as a gamer and you have a PlayStation 4, do not purchase this unless you have at least 4 or 5 days just to be sucked in.
Oh, my God.
I'm debating whether or not I can ever pick up a PlayStation controller. This has been such a time suck at the worst possible time in my life.
Right,
but anyway.
Right.
So we go, and we're there early, so we arrive, and I'm kind of helping out, you know, getting ice and everything. That's what I do. And it's hilarious to me because all the other dads start showing up, and here's the thing. I don't know what community that they are in, but I know it is not a community that I – let me just say, the amount of neck tattoos was of an alarming level.
Yes.
And not like wife beater and, you know, Dickie pants turned into shorts and extra long tube socks and names like Sleepy tattooed on the neck.
Yeah, right.
More like, no, this is what I do because I own my own, like, clothing boutique somewhere on Melrose Avenue.
I got you.
Is what I'm guessing.
Okay.
The vibe was not ghetto at all.
Okay, because you started by saying this was a different culture type.
Yes.
Culture clash.
Not everything I say is racist,
okay.
But not that I'm saying what you said is improper with anything I've said, but I'm just putting it out there that not everything I say is racist.
Okay, all right.
But this was a ethnically diverse party, to put it that way.
Yeah.
But there was a white dude with curly locks of hair.
Were you the diversity?
Yes, I was. I was definitely the minority.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. There was me and one other, like, we're white guy cargo short dads. How's it going, guys?
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure, I can operate that snow cone machine for you.
Standing next to each other, holding hands. Trying not to make any sudden movements.
And it's just funny because, especially in Los Angeles, I am usually the younger person with kids. But these people, I think, were younger. They were definitely living younger and looked younger. So whatever they were doing was much better than what I've been doing
for the
past 8 to 10 years. Because they all looked amazing. Every one of the dads had six-pack abs. Every one of them had some kind of, like, nipple puncturing their shirt.
Right.
And all I kept thinking is, like, man, super glad I didn't wear that Speedo. Because the likelihood of me coming in the Speedo and then some dude going, oh, it's cool. And he was like, there was a guy literally wearing white jeans and a white, like, V-neck T-shirt.
Right.
Now, not just Hanes. This had to be some kind of Banana Republic Gap $40 T-shirt.
Yeah.
But and then, like, Italian leather-looking shoes with no socks. That's how fashionable
this
is.
What color were the shoes?
Everything that looks, they were brown.
Okay.
Like a light tan.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like a mocha.
Sure.
Yeah.
Lighter than a mocha.
This guy's wearing white after Labor Day.
Yes.
So he's got a fashion.
Wait, it's before Labor Day.
Whatever. It's always either before or after.
That's very true. Are you okay?
No.
Are you having a stroke? What do you taste right now? Is it almonds? Because we may need to stop the show.
Scrambled eggs.
But I'm just saying he's fashionable.
Yeah.
You know, because I can tell because everything he's wearing looks impractical and uncomfortable.
And looks good.
It looks good. Oh, my God, the hair on this guy. Like, he could give Thor a run for his, because he's got the long, wavy locks, but he had, like, curled hair with it.
Mm.
Everybody there had, like, curly hair of some kind, right? And then all of the ladies.
Is that another cultural reference?
No.
Just making sure.
But it was just hilarious because everybody had tattoos. Everybody was super nice, though. Like, and it was just like, but see, here's the thing. I guess what I'm trying to say by the tattoos, everyone was like Adam Levine level cooler than me. You understand?
Yes.
Like everybody was looked like they could easily be plugged into Maroon 5 and you wouldn't even know that they were a new member. And I could imagine who I have called neck tattooed Thor.
Yeah.
He was... Yeah. If I would have showed up in a Speedo, he's like, oh, Speedos are cool. And then he would have, you know,
he would have dropped,
but he would have looked like 17-year-old in high school water polo player. Yeah. You know what I mean? It would have been.
Yeah.
And then it was great because there was a lot of like mixed race couples. And I only say that not because it made me feel uncomfortable, because every time now this is really getting weird. But I liked it because it was this great moment where Grandpa was there, and he's a white guy, and Grandma is a black lady.
Yeah.
Grandpa takes off shirt, goes, I think I'm going to go get in the pool. And Grandpa's like, he could fit into my family reunion. He's got fucking Hulk Hogan mustache rocking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no neck tattoos, just regular old, you know, kind of rednecky looking dude. I don't know if
Live
he is.
Live free or die bumper sticker.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If you could read this, the bitch fell off, that kind of stuff. So anyway, he gets to the pool. She goes, oh, his wife goes, oh, man. And she like holds her hand up. He goes, what? She goes, you need to get in the sun more. You're whiter than white, man. Jeez, Lou, get a tan. And I put my shirt back on because I was having like a hamburger. And I said, you give me five. He goes, that's why I'm going in the pool. I said, you give me 5 minutes, I will give you a run for your pasty money. You understand? And so, but everybody else besides Grandpa was all on board. And I'm running around in my, you know, like little bit of like a dusting of back hair, I feel like just not enough to where it's like, is that guy dirty or is that hair? Like, it's really weird.
We've discussed your hair on the last episode, I think.
We did?
Yeah. We're talking about the guy with the arms at the
oh, the arm hair. Yeah. So that was the party, but worth it.
Okay.
For to see my lovely lady.
Yeah.
Rolling around in a bikini. Holy smokes. That was.
You don't need the Speedo in that case.
No. If I would have been wearing a Speedo, Daddy would have been periscoping out of that thing, I bet.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I probably would have made some. I can't get out of the pool. I'm just going to go home without me. I'm just going to hang here until they shut it down.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may want to ask the children to leave the room before we're going to continue to listen to this podcast. Oh, God.
So anyway, the other thing, though, that happens is the I don't know if this is a thing everywhere else. TMI. How dare you, Jessica? I will talk about my junk on my own show. You want to talk about your genitals, get your podcast.
Right.
So anyway,
if he wants to pretend that it can make its way over the edge of a
Speedo. That's theater of the mind.
Yes, exactly.
Theater of the mind. So then now you have to have a token appearance of some kind of a character, right? So, hold on. Oh. We have child interruption here. Yes? Jacob's not moving because you want to get your bunny and your blanket. Your bunny and your blanket are on your bed. Do you know that? You want to push the thing on the ottoman. The ottoman does not need to move, son. Yeah. So shut the door, please.
I want the ottoman to go straight.
Leave the ottoman alone. You are 3 feet tall. The couch is you don't need to put your feet up. Okay? Shut the door, please. Tell your brother to get out of your way or I'll kill him. There we go.
That's how it's done.
Summer vacation is fucking killing me. So anyway, so now you have the usual appearance of the superhero.
Yeah, with the video games and the bikini parties. It sounds
it's like rough, man. It's a hard knock life for me. I have sunburn. Look at those shoulders.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've gotten color, as they call it.
Yeah.
Anyway, now Bumblebee shows up at the party. Okay.
Oh,
now,
no.
What Bumblebee, though, is now this is here's the thing. I want to make it clear that it is not a reflection of the woman who hired them, because as many of you probably know, and if you don't, congratulations, because you've dodged this weird world that we all live in where you have to. Everything is a fucking bar mitzvah out here. Like every birthday has to be this coming of age story or something. It's epic proportions. So Bumblebee shows up and he looks like He looks like a guy who is homeless who decided to blend in with the people at Comic-Con. That's the best way I could describe him. He's got a voice like this. And what was great is, I joked with some of the other parents, is that, oh, that was the other thing that happened. Some people would bring friends with them, like a mom and a kid brought their friends with them to come to the party.
Yeah.
And what was hilarious is that everybody that was introduced to me, they had to receive some kind of a warning that I was a comedian, which was something that had never happened to me before at that point, at this point. Like, it was like, this is Justin, he's Jack's dad, and he's a comedian. So, just so you know.
Right, and sometimes, just so you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you do it professionally. There are people who get introduced that way who are just jackasses.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I didn't know
this
that.
This guy's a comedian. This,
They didn't say it like that.
Okay, I'm just saying.
They said it more like, he's a Protestant. You know what I mean? Like, they said it more like, he's Jewish. You know, something along those lines. He's a comedian, so handle him with gloves or something
like that.
Or don't be offended.
Don't look
was
him in the
vibe
eye.
I think so too,
right.
So then, and one of the ladies was like, oh, we get a free show or whatever.
Boom, Speedos.
I had Ripaway swim trunks. No, I resist the urge to make a comment on her bikini. But the... So anyway, so Bumblebee shows up, and I made a joke with him.
That you the middle, though.
I think he got the more. What? Jacob is not listening. What is?
Well, you know what? This ship can run without you, but I can't run without you. But I can go solve this problem.
No. They can solve this problem. They're more than capable. Listen, I need you to just sit down on the couch and get over it. Okay? Thank you, son. I love you. All right, so.
Evidence to the contrary notwithstanding.
Yeah. Bumblebee, how dare you? I love those kids. How dare you?
How dare me? I can barely get that out. I think I deserve an award.
So anyway, Bumblebee shows up, and I made a joke to the parents. I go, I may be wrong, but I think he's getting paid by the child reference, not by the hour. Because he was like, what's up, kids? How's it going? Optimus Prime, Teenage Ninja Turtles, Elsa, Anna. He's just like,
Michelangelo, Raphael.
My Little Ponies are awesome.
That's funny.
What's up, friends and family? How's it going? Dash is the birthday. He's cool. He is awesome. He's cool like Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, my God, that's funny. It's like when a comic goes out and says, hey, where are you from? And he gets the crowd on his side.
But he was working the crowd without letting them answer. It was like doing a podcast with this guy. Mm-hmm. There was no room for anything. He didn't let anybody talk. And then it's like, so this is.
Does he need a sidekick?
I hope so. the gist was, because I would love to just watch this and see if it changes at all.
Right.
But anyway, so he pulls out like a little parachute and they're playing parachutes. And all he's doing is like, all right, we have to go because the Decepticons are coming. You know, and sometimes he would even mix up his bad guys. All right, get in the middle because Shredder's going to get you. And I was like, wait, no, that's Ninja. What? Like,
right.
And it was funny because the kids were like, but the parents, I think, were looking at her going, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Right.
Which makes me think that everybody there is in entertainment, I guess. I don't know. But it was awesome and it was good times. And then I think that was it. I think that was all. I'm trying to remember. Oh, my gosh. Jacob, why are you in your brother's way? What is it that is, why do you have to block your brother? Speak up. I got a show to do.
Because he has enough space for him to put his feet on, and he punched me 4 times because I was not moving.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Hold on. Here's what we're going to do.
Oh, no.
You kids are going to rue the day. Here, enjoy some more Lumbo Jero. All right, we're back.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
All right, so I go in there just now into the house. And
did you hear what I yelled?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this is the best part of the story, is that I'm walking in there with authority.
Yeah.
And and Jacob says, Dad, did you hear what Adam said?
I heard you
the
laugh.
The listeners did not hear what, but as I left, I'm about halfway to the house, and Adam goes, don't leave any marks. And Jacob says, did you hear what Adam said? Oh, my God. I'm going to choke the shit out out of a 4-year-old. Jesus. So I go in there expecting to see Jack living like the, you know, a Sultan of Brunei around pillows.
Ottomans. On the
couch. No, he's in his room with his door shut, hiding in his stuffed animals like he's fucking E.T.
Right.
And I go, because he knew he's oh my God, that kid has a temper. The other day we're here and we're having a hangout time or whatever.
Yeah.
And this kid, his brother says, no, you can't do that or something like that. Yeah. He throws a pillow at his face. Just like, not like there was no buildup. It was just like, boom, fuck it. Like it's a prison yard.
Let's go. Right.
And so it's a weird thing because that, Summer sucks ass because these are normally very good brothers who play a lot, but they are constantly around each other.
Sure.
Coming off of 9 months of only being around each other 3 to 4 hours a day.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh. So
seriously. And then there's all the exposure to the Dark Knight. I'm not saying that might have anything to do with it.
But it has nothing to do with it. Now,
if
he had fashioned a fork into a batarang and stabbed his brother, then
gouged his eye out.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and listen, if they really are basing it off of watching me play Arkham Knight, it wouldn't be four punches. It would, there's at least 18, 19 combo attacks because you're never, it's just never just one-on-one. You're
right.
You're fucking Batman. You're taking on 20 guys all around you at once, leaping and jumping around, all that stuff. So.
Kathy, what did you call it? The never mind. The dance, the fighting dance.
Capoeira.
Capoeira.
But I think somebody said I said it wrong in the chat room.
I'm sure you did.
Capoeira. I don't know. The guy from South Africa was in the chat room.
That
and
was
he
closer
said,
at the end.
It's capoeira or capoeira or I don't know. It's a fucking capoeira. Brazilian fucking jiu-jitsu martial arts dance. Anyway. So where was I? I was talking about parties, I guess. And
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz. I don't listen.
Listen, I don't know what it is that you do over there, all right? I'll be 100% honest. You come in with a laptop. I'm assuming that you're
dead.
It's died? The power's dead?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you were following along with the chat, but then while you're on your laptop, you're checking the phone or something like that. It doesn't bother me, I guess, but occasionally I might come to you and say, where was I? And then to see the deer in headlights look, it was the same look that Jacob gave us when I said, why are you in his way?
Right.
And then he goes, oh, shit.
Right. He hit me.
Yes.
Well, you were at the party. You were building something new. Is the problem that you were just starting down a new path? I believe.
I think we came home and just kind of hung out the rest of the day. It was a nice day.
Right.
Wife and I banged around in the bathroom. That happened.
Oh,
that was hot.
Boy.
That was hot.
Oh no.
That was definitely. I'd had enough. There's only so much. There's only so much I can take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, fellas. If there's one thing I learned, and we've talked about it on the show multiple times, and that'll transition into this first article we have here, is that let that monkey, once you're married for a while, let that monkey brain fall out a little bit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let the ladies know what's in that little male monkey brain of yours when they're changing clothes. I'm just saying. I think it's totally couth to do with your wife.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to put this out there. You do it, and you let me know when you get blowback. Or just tell your wife, which was not going to be creepy at all. Tell your wife. No, the guy on the podcast, he said that you would like this. Call him. 877-222-8323.
No. Subscribe. Have her subscribe first.
Well, here's the thing, fellas. This is not the show to get your ladies to listen to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is Bad News Bears. I found this article with all the excitement that my heart could Twitterpate enough. I don't know. I'm fucking trying to use words in a calendar, and it's not working.
No.
This is called The Joy of Sex, The Joy of Just the Right Amount of Sex. This comes to us from the New York Times. In a representative recent study of 1,000 women, for example, the participants ranked sex as number one among the activities that made them the happiest.
Mm-hmm.
Data from 16,000 American adults on income, sexual activity, and happiness led economists to conclude in a much-discussed 2004 study that increasing the frequency of intercourse from once a month to once a week increased happiness to the same extent as having an additional $50,000 in the bank.
Wow.
Yeah. What I don't like about that is I kind of makes it feel like my wife is a whore. You know what I'm saying? That But then I realized that was my dumb brain. It's not like she also gets the $50,000.
That's true.
It's just she's in a never.
Right.
She's so hopped up on the dopamine from all the orgasms.
Well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say to Luna, I'm going to make you as happy as a millionaire.
You go tenfold.
Yeah. Well, that would be 20 times, right?
Yeah, you're totally fine. Yeah, boom. That's almost once a day. Well, this is why I was excited, because I thought this study supported my once a day for 30-day theory.
Yeah.
But while these and similar studies which relied on surveys revealed an association between sex and happiness, they did not show that more sex actually causes greater happiness. Perhaps happier people just happen to have more sex.
Oh, that's certain.
Motherfucker. For this study, researchers at Carnegie Mellon University and elsewhere recruited 64 adult couples, all married and heterosexual, and asked the volunteers how often they had sex, how enjoyable it was, and how happy they were in general. Based on standard questionnaires that measure mood and energy, half the couples, picked randomly, were assigned to go about their lives as usual. The rest were told to double the frequency of sexual relations. If they had
Doctor's
sex once a month,
orders.
The minimum rate for inclusion in the study. Oh, make it twice. So you had, in order to be included in the study, you had to have sex once a month on average.
I'm out.
I think you and about every person with a child is.
Yeah, right.
Make it twice. Couples who had sex three times a week, the maximum rate for participants were to go six times a week.
Oh.
I like that they had a maximum. The subjects were also tasked with completing a short daily online questionnaire for the experiment's duration, which was 90 days, about the amount and quality of their sex the previous day and their subsequent moods. Some couples in the experimental group actually did manage to double the rate of intercourse, and on average, there was a 40% increase. This did not make them happier. In fact, their well-being declined, especially in measures of energy and enthusiasm, as did the quality of the sex. Both men and women reported that the additional intercourse wasn't much fun. It seems that if you're having sex for a reason other than because you like and want sex, he says, you may undermine the quality of that sex and your resulting mood.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Dr. Lowenstein. And the horse you rode in on. Dr. Lowenstein says, concentrate on quality rather than quantity if you wish to be happy. People who like their couplings probably have more of them, and it is the pleasure of the act, he says, that raises moods and not how often it happens. So there you go. I'm going to take this and put that in a special file so that my wife can never see that. Oh, so any thoughts on that, Paco?
Well, you know what? Maybe it was written by The Onion.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
It's satirical in nature.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that idea. Well, here's another.
I think obligation sex is not going to be good sex, whether you're doing it because you feel obligated to the other person in the relationship or because you feel obligated to the experiment that you signed up for. What I really would like to have seen was the conversations that led people to join that experiment and who was really driving that conversation.
Absolutely. Hey, honey, you know how you make fun of me for perusing Craigslist for scientific experiments? Well, guess what? Look what I found.
Exactly.
Why won't you go? No, come on. No, it'll be fun. It's for science, babe.
You can help the world.
You like that Masters of Sex show at Showtime. It's the same basic concept. Let's do this. That is great. Yeah. Or even better, if they had whatever it was, 1,600 people, how many of all the people that could, like the guys tried to talk their wives and
oh my God,
and they were like shot down hardcore.
Yeah.
Marriages that were destroyed because what did he do? He tried to talk me into a sex study.
Right.
What kind of a crazy freak is he? That's funny stuff. Here's another thing that came up recently for me is that have you ever had this happen? Although you have the machine. We've discussed this, right? My father has sleep apnea, but he doesn't have the machine.
I was afraid what machine you were talking about. I'm like, how could he know? Keep it in the back of the closet.
I left that open-ended. My father used to joke because he would snore, and then he'd do the...
Oh, yeah. he had apnea. Yeah.
And I don't know if he still does or what the story is, but my mom, being a respiratory therapist, sometimes that would be what would jar her awake.
Oh, sure.
If he stopped breathing, she'd be like, okay, do I have to save him? Okay, we're good. But this is something that came out. Americans Reclaim the Night study shows men winning bedrooms. So snoring is forcing American couples apart, and it appears men are least affected and unlikely to seek a solution to put them back in the bedroom. A U.S. omnibus study of over 1,000 American adults revealed that 64% of American households are now dealing with at least one snore, and 50% are losing sleep because of it. Now, the only thing I had a story. Here's my issue.
Yeah.
I learned that if I'm above 215, I snore. Right now I'm at 200.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And so what would, and then I would not get sleep, not because of the snoring per se, but because my wife was constantly nudging me to get me to stop snoring. And what sucks is when you're the guy who's the snoring and getting the nudge, you don't know why you're awoken.
Right.
You never hear yourself snore, except for recently I've had a couple where you do and you wake up hearing yourself growl at yourself.
Yeah.
I've started doing that, and that's why I, when I saw this, I was like, oh, let's check this out. The effects of poor sleep are compounded with 18% forced to sleep in separate beds. That, to me, is shocking. While poor sleep quality can impact people's ability to function in the workplace, the real impact on intimate relationships and long-term psychological well-being is only now coming to light. More and more couples are moving to separate rooms to combat their partner's snoring. Now, this is majority of this is in the UK, so it says this figure was skyrocketed to 34% of people with snoring partners, 38% of women insisting on separate rooms. So it's going back to like almost Ozzy and Harriet days on steroids.
Right. Yeah.
And I wonder, because I've known people who have done this where they sleep in separate rooms.
Yeah.
And it seems kind of like royalty. You know what I mean? Because when here's the thing. I think it's hard enough when you're the guy and you roll over and you make a move on your wife, right?
Yeah.
And then you get rejected. All you got to do is roll back over and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of like, that feels like a slamming door to you. You know, it's like, oh yeah, well, fuck you.
Right.
But when you got to go carry your naked ass.
I'm picturing like a Jackie Chan style, you know? Arm and fist, you know, like, battle.
Like
in your
you're
bedroom.
Trying to force yourself on her?
Well, no, that you make one move and she has a counter move and then you make another slide my hand here and she blocks that and parry and
ours
thrusts.
Is more of a delicate dance.
Oh,
like
okay.
Sometimes I do like the leg rub.
Yeah.
That my wife likes to kiss on the back of the neck. That's usually, it's a go for launch.
Oh, wow.
Initiation.
I'll keep that in mind.
So you know. Yeah. Yes. Try it.
I didn't mean for my wife.
Well, why are you fucking my wife, you creepo?
Oh, no, I'm the creep.
Yes, you're the creep.
Ah. People, write in. Tell them I'm not a creep. You're good
you know
at
what?
That.
Yeah, let's write in. Let's play that. Let's dance that dance. Anybody else? Please write in if you. What's more creepy, me watching my wife in a shower, or him talking about fucking my wife? You let me know what you think is more creepy.
Come on, Paco Nation. But,
yeah, let's see
Activate.
The Paco Nation roar.
Activate.
In uproar. Anyway. So I have like the dance of like the leg rub, but here's the thing: I've done it just to cuddle sometimes.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like you,
but you're right there; you're at ground zero,
right.
so to speak.
But if I have to get up,
yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of thought.
You have to start with "you up, boo."
You
text her,
yeah, you text
you
her,
"you up, boo," and then
yeah, I like that—the flirty text.
Yeah.
But if she has her phone on Do Not Disturb. I feel like I would put a little show into it. I feel like at some point,
you know
how we talk about, you know, sex every day for 30 days, something, you know, like the moms wrote in when we were doing that episode about sex, about the Liberator, when we did Truth or Drink, I think it was.
Yeah.
So they said, so here's the thing. I feel like if you were in separate bedrooms, in order to amp up the game, like you would have to learn fire dancing. Like that would be a thing. You would come in like ta 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 ta, like a grass
bedroom
skirt.
Door, you know, swings open and you're standing framed.
Smoke
by
fills the room.
Drums, you know,
start doing magic,
right,
to get her awake, and then it's like no, and it's like okay, guys, she said no.
The right.
crew starts packing up the set. You gotta head back to your bedroom.
Open a window, let the smoke out.
You're fanning it out. And let's see. Despite the impact of snoring hitting the bedroom, it would seem until now. Few men have been willing to do anything about it, with 47% of households having never bought a snoring product. Michael Johnson, chief executive officer of Rhinoned, I'm guessing that's rhino for your nose, I guess, because rhinoplasty is when you get...
Yeah, yeah.
Snoring can destroy relationships and have a negative impact on people's health. The good news is that using something as simple as Mute... I'm assuming this is his product and he's plugging
yes,
it.
Yes.
To change lives and relationships, American men can reclaim their bedrooms by breathing better and letting their wives and partners get a good night's sleep. Who knows where that what that would lead
it's
to.
It's not just snoring, though, that you know ruins relationships. Marriage has been known to ruin a fair
that
number of relationships.
Could definitely
as
tear
well.
Some down.
Yeah. Well, I fear that there will be retribution. But yes, I have had apnea and had it for years. It was terrible. And she had to put up with a lot of unholy noises in the bed next to her. And I never got kicked out. By all rights, I should have been. There were many occasions on which I did sleep in another room. It had more to do with the furry menagerie that I didn't want to have to battle with. That includes Luna, by the way. but she herself, I've noticed, has started a little bit of snoring. And I'm listening
for
apnea-type sounds. Because I'd like nothing better than the two of us to have to strap in, you know.
How adorable it would be if both of you Darth Vader up.
Yeah, we get one machine, but it serves two masks.
Then you'd be like when Robin Williams played that robot, you know what I mean? He lay next to the lady at the end. Right. Oh, that would be so awesome. That would be. Well, here's some five tongue exercises to reduce snoring.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Let's see. With your mouth open, push your tongue against the roof of your mouth and slide it backwards 20 times. I feel like this could not only help with snoring.
I was thinking.
So you like that? So you just kind of stroke the roof of your mouth, I'm guessing?
I'm almost there.
You want me to talk slower?
Yeah.
Keep the tip. Oh, this is going to get bad for you. Keep the tip of your tongue against your bottom teeth and try pushing the back of your tongue down. So like a yawn, I guess, or something. This is so stupid. I'm doing it. suck your tongue against the roof of your mouth. It sounds weird, but try it. Just push your tongue up, creating suction, and use your entire tongue to push against the roof of your mouth. Then repeat it 19 more times. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I get you're sucking on it to make. I give it. Yeah. So you have to suck it.
Yeah. This is for the archive. This section right
this
here.
Is best of
is what
right
you
here.
Send out. Yeah.
This is going to get us that Stitcher Award, the podcast of honor. Academy of Podcasting, buckle up for tongue exercises for cunnilingus and snoring. Lift your soft palate 20 times. This is like Kegel exercise. It's on the roof of your mouth at the very back. If you feel around with your tongue, it's where the top of your mouth starts feeling soft, and it tends to lift up when you yawn, smile, sing, or say ah, like you're at the doctor. If you're not into the tongue thing, you can also press your cheek away from your teeth 10 times on each side. So,
see, that didn't sound to me like necessarily. I mean, it sounds like it might help you prepare for. Oh, geez, I almost said it.
Hey, what's up? We got another kid in.
Uh-oh.
Kid with a rabbit. Do you understand that I'm doing
a
show? Okay. Do you remember at some point when I said to you, I said, if you need something, I'm out here, but it's really only for like when somebody is bleeding, right? What's going on with you, son? Talk to me. Talk to me, Goose. Jack's mad at you? What did you do to Jack?
I just cried because he hurt me.
You were crying because he hurt you?
And then he's hiding in his room from me.
Uh-huh. Well, then let him blow it off his steam in there. That's totally fine. He's got stuff to do in his room, and then you can watch TV, and then nobody has to fight over the couch.
I told him that I felt lonely.
You feel lonely, son. You look at me. Now listen to me. You're gonna try to sell me on this horseshit that you feel lonely when you're in the house watching cartoons?
I do.
You do? So you want me to stop doing all this? You want me to shut all this down and then we go inside? Okay, so you want me to what do you want me to do, son?
I'm gonna ask you how I can stay in here quietly.
No, you can't stay in here, bud. You can go in there and watch cartoons like you've done multiple times. There have been times when your brother has been napping and you've just sat there and watched cartoons and it's been totally fine. You're not by yourself. Your brother is in his room. I'm out here. You're totally fine. Okay? Help me out, bud.
Oh, Dad?
Yes.
Can we play
you could play video games.
Thank you, Dad.
Oh, see? See how unlonely you feel now? Isn't that crazy how that works?
Yeah. The Xbox, the PlayStation is your friend.
Yeah. And his father. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What I was saying.
Well, there you go. That's the guy who does a podcast about being a dad. That's how he rolls. That's how I do it.
Yes.
Now, listen. So I'm clear. In case I feel like that there might be somebody listening to this who's like, what a dick. Right?
Right.
But let me tell you something.
How nearby do you think that person is?
2 feet away?
Yeah. No.
I don't care. You can think I'm a dick all you want.
You know.
The thing about it is that that's the thing. It's like this is what's so hard about toddlers, I feel, and why I am, again, I'm going to say this so I can put my foot in my mouth, why I'm so looking forward to teenagers is that a teenager has a level of arrogant cockiness that I feel like taking them down a peg feels self-satisfactory. You know what I mean? Like you feel a little bit of like, haha, yeah. How happy do you feel now? Do you have the world by the balls now, son?
Right.
Whereas a toddler, like he could play that card of like getting the eyes to, they could turn it on like a fucking dime to get the eyes to turn red, right?
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. I know that he is full of shit.
Yes.
He knows that he is full of shit. But what he also knows is that the rest of the world, people listening to this microphone, yeah. Adam sitting across me, probably don't know that he's full of shit.
Right.
And then if I play the, oh, so sad to be me card,
yeah.
then all bets are off. Dad's going to pull the trigger, and it's going to be fine. And here's the thing. For a moment, a nanosecond, I was like, is he really upset? Because he was smiling, and then he turned it on.
Yeah,
like,
no,
he went into actor mode.
His eyes kind of glistened.
And he
a little.
Started to get upset. And then he goes, well, can I play video games? I said, yeah. Smiles, boom, out the door. I'm out of here.
Right.
So now he doesn't need Jack. He can just go do whatever he wants to do.
Yes.
Oh, my
but
God.
On the other hand.
Yeah.
I wonder if he, like the way, here's the thing. When you're working with a dog.
Sober Sam, the teenager, sorry to interrupt, but he says, I do have the world by the balls. Listen to me, son. I don't know. Let's just put it, your moniker on a dad podcast chat room is Sober Sam. How by the balls? I think you're a very cool kid.
How good a grip do you have on those balls?
But the what you will soon find out, my friend, is it is good to feel like you have the world by the balls. I think that's a definitely a good thing. Don't shy away from carrying that with you, but just maintain the fact that there are people older than you that know a thing or two, I guess is the only thing. Anyway, back to you, Paco.
Okay, when you're working with a dog,
yeah,
right, and you, it's the whole Pavlov thing.
Mm-hmm.
You ring the bell, they salivate. If you put an action before you ring the bell, like you, if you scratch your nose every time, and then you ring the bell, they'll start to react to the nose scratch in anticipation of the bell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if, for him, the goal was. Be told that I can play video games, which you might not have agreed to right out the
No,
bat.
I would have totally agreed to it.
Oh, would you? Okay, because they were in here before talking about it last time.
Yeah, I told them. Okay. Here's the thing. I tell them beforehand. I say, I review the rules. I said, there's no opening the door for anyone.
Yeah.
I say, you're going to play. I said, you could watch cartoons or you could play video games. The only catch is it has to be a game that you know how to play. So mostly that's like Disney Infinity that they could just get into and they could do it.
Right.
And that's what they're going to do. Now, right now, Jack is more wants to play the old Call of Duty. Or this is not interesting. This
no, it's okay. I understand. Then I take back what I was saying then, but I will still try to dive for this joke I was after before,
okay, good.
Just to bring some comedy back to
the
world.
Right, please do.
Okay, so yes, it sounds like those instructions might help an eager beaver, pardon the expression, prepare his mouth for cunnilingus.
Yes.
But it really sounds like a masterclass in fellatio.
Yeah.
Just incredible with the...
So it's unisex is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, really, it is.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So very useful article then. That's what I'm taking from
that. I think that's the most favorite thing you've ever brought. And if you're done with that, I'll bring it home, show it to Luke.
I think I threw it away, actually. It's over there. This is a different one about... But I don't want to go into now. So this is a fun trend. Gender-neutral names are on the rise as the popularity of Amari, Phoenix, and Carter, with a K, increases for boys and girls.
Oh, my God. Carter with a K?
Yes.
It wouldn't matter what gender they were. I'd want to punch them both in the face.
Well, they actually said that. They said that people of our generation are going to look at this and go, this is annoying. I hate this.
Yes.
But if you are under the age of 35, you're not going to have a problem with this.
Yeah.
I am 36, so I think I'm a cusp person. Yes. And I'm like... I don't like. Here's the thing.
You're a cusp hater.
I'm a cusp hater. I don't like the fact that we're making such a big deal. Like, I think that nobody really cares about the gender orientation of a name.
Yes.
I really don't think people truly care about that.
Yes.
I think all too often we as parents put way too much worry into the actual naming of the kid.
Okay.
That's my opinion. So I don't know if that what makes
that
me.
That is evident. By the names you chose.
Yeah, Jack and Jacob.
Right.
Basically the same names.
I'm not even sure you turned the page on the book.
No. Actually, what happened was I started to write Jacob's name again, and I said, oh, can't do that. Fuck, how do we save this?
Turn the C into a K.
Last year, names like Noah and Emma were the most popular boy and girl names, reports Yahoo News. What's in a name? Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher gave their baby girl the unisex name Wyatt.
Well, hang on a second.
What?
That's Mina, or what's her name?
Mila.
Mila. What?
Mila and Ashton.
Mila and Ashton. I'm
two
like, is it a surprise?
Girl names, in my opinion.
Yeah, that they gave.
But see, that's the thing. I always hate that we refer to celebrities when they do this.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, I mean, listen, I joke about
named,
being an internet
if they'd
celebrity.
If
they
named her
but,
Jane, I would have gone, that's awesome.
Right. That's a way to break the trend then.
Yeah.
But I always wonder, like, is it the chicken or the egg? Like, when you become a celebrity, are you automatically kind of douchey? Like, even, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where you have to do weird things like that? Or are you a celebrity because you're always kind of quirky and weird?
I think that sounds like somebody needs to do a new study. I think you
Carnegie
need to do
Mellon,
that.
Let's get him on the horn.
No, I think that people who are celebrities already have a bit of the douche in them anyway. I mean, just that they have a personality that's attracted to a certain kind of a lifestyle or whatever. And that, anyway, I'll shut up.
Carter was more popular with girls, and Phoenix, Quinn, Reese, River, Rory, Rowan, Sawyer, and Taylor are still used most often for boys, is what they said. I like all these names. I don't have a problem with the names. My problem is I just don't like the idea that we're trying to point out. It's like, look, nobody cares if you're a man or a woman.
Well,
like,
but this article came out today, recently.
Within the last, week.
Okay, because in the last month, 6 weeks, 2 months, transgender is everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, plan ahead because you don't know when they're cooking what their orientation
That's
is,
true.
What they're going to identify as
that's
when they
true.
Come out. If you use Sawyer,
you have a kid
boom.
Who wants to change their gender, and then they go both ways. No problem. No
yeah,
point.
You get the name is already there.
Let's see what. So these are the top trending gender neutral baby names of 2015: Amari, Carter, Phoenix, Quinn, Reese, Phoenix. Phoenix is listed twice: Rory, Rowan, Sawyer, and Taylor.
Is it spelled the same way both times?
Yes. That'd be funny if it was the typo, EO instead of OE. Most popular baby names for boys and girls in 2014. Now, this is interesting because Natalie wanted to name him Jackson. And I said, no, because he's not going to be wearing like some kind of hipster hat and skinny jeans when he's four. So we'll just stick with Jack, because I said I wanted a name that you could roll up a pack of cigarettes in your sleeve.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackson, Aiden, Liam, Lucas, Noah, Mason, Ethan, Caden, Jacob, and Logan. They had a list in here that I thought was interesting, too, of names that were here it is. A lot of people say that Madison and Addison, two extremely popular names, mostly for girls, are actually boys' names because they have the son ending, which I was like, how does that make sense? How Madison and Addison are two girl names to me.
Right.
Sophia, Emma, Olivia, Ava, Isabella, Mia, Zoe, Lily, Emily, and Madeline were the most popular girls' names in 2014. So there's that, and I've already lost interest in that, so I can't imagine how interested. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little flummoxed. I'm a little flustered.
Oh, I imagine.
Not because here's the thing. Everything has been going so smoothly with doing the show and then having the kids, and then after this, I have to go to work. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
So, and then I work all night until, listen, I know that we joke, but it's hard having a part-time job, guys.
Yes.
It's really rough for this stay-at-home dad.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I mean? The people who listen to this, they can't possibly understand where I'm coming from.
No, there's a burden.
Their lives are so much easier. You know what I mean? They don't have the burden of bikini pool parties with neck-tattooed cool guys and snow cone machines and cotton candy machines.
Right, where they live is just one mediocre person after another. They don't have to live up to any kind of standard like that.
Right. Yeah. You know, just the normal life of walking your going on a walk with your daughter and then somebody else is walking their pony. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
We've all heard that story a thousand times. Right. We all know it quite well. But no, to be honest, is that it's rough, man. It's really not rough in this. Obviously, I don't have real problems, but it is it is a new thing that I'm trying to juggle. And then all of this is also happening in the midst of, you know, me trying to do this show more often.
Yeah.
And then I'm not making any money doing voiceover because I have no time to do that. And,
Right. I'm going to ask the listeners to mark their calendars.
Uh-huh.
From this point forward, we'll do a little pool. How soon before he says, you know, I think I might like to go back on the road again.
No, that's not happening. I can guarantee you that's not happening. But it is a weird thing that, you know, I'd made this change so that I would have more time with my family.
Yes.
And during this transition.
Welcome home.
Exactly. During the I mean, here's the thing. Natalie has already said it's nice because at least I'm here. You know what I mean? I come home at the end of the day.
That's a ringing endorsement, by the way.
What do you mean?
It's nice because you're here.
That's not how she put it.
Oh, okay.
I said it's nice that you're here. She did not go, like,
okay. It was sort of like, well, at least you're here. Okay. I'm sorry. I'll stop undermining.
No, you're not undermining. Here's a story that I want to tell because it's funny in light of what just happened is that I joke a lot about on the show, but I went and took the boys and I had a day where I wasn't going to do any work. I'm like, I didn't have to go to the radio station. I didn't have to prep for this show until that night. So I'm just going to chill, hang out with the boys. And I stopped playing Batman.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're just hanging out. And then I said, hey, you want to go see a movie or something? You know, and they were like, sure. We went to go see Inside Out. And if anybody hasn't seen it,
yeah,
highly recommend it. Go see it. But the reason I bring that up is that before I even got there, I was having this thought. We're driving in the minivan and I'm talking with the boys, and you're having those moments that we talk about in moments of the week where it's really nice and the conversation is fun and yada, yada, yada. And then I kind of realized that what all of this is for, right? In that I realized yesterday something that I think I'd known my entire life, but it really came to fruition for me yesterday.
Wow.
In the morning is that the only thing I've ever truly wanted to do in my life is be a husband and a father. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. It's the only thing that because I started thinking about, why is it that everything that I quote unquote create is built around this world? You know what I mean?
Right.
Where I kind of jokingly make fun of how it can be miserable a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't like to get, you know, I don't know if this is the right word, you have to tell me, Paco, maudlin or heavy-handed on the show, but
those are both excellent words that mean different things.
Okay, good. I think it should be said in case there's somebody out there who is relating, or maybe this kind of gives you that same moment where it's like, in these moments, like now, where the boys are coming in here and I'm trying to do this podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that the irony is not lost on me. It's like, go away so I could do my podcast about being a dad.
Right. And can you imagine if this was really important?
Exactly.
How annoying that would be.
Exactly. The point I'm making is that I just, when I sat there and I go, oh, that's right. This is the life that I wanted.
Right.
And that it is easy to get lost in all the minutiae of the day and what's going on around you to kind of lose track and forget that, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so I watched it. And then you go in and you see this movie. It was really kind of almost a spiritual kind of moment in the day for me, because we go and see this movie, which, by the way, is hilarious. If you haven't seen it, it's got some really great moments in there. The premise is that there are the different emotions that make up your personality and these memories. And then there's these little people who are in control of you.
Yes.
And then what's great is for parents who go to see it, you get to see those same emotions in the minds of the parents.
Right.
And there's great interactions.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. There's a thing during the credits that I don't want to blow, but that had me laughing hysterically about the mind of a 13-year-old boy.
Juan Bedoya took his lady and several other octogenarians. They went out and had a fantastic time.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
From
a lot of the reviews have been saying that people are like, that they really hit it on the head, but they did. Like, this is, to me, Pixar making a really solid movie that really says a lot without saying a lot, if that makes
sense. That's great.
So I come home it just kind of became a different day. The kids still were the kids. It's not like they got the magic tone of everything and stopped ruining my fucking day.
Right.
But it's interesting to me because everything was smooth. And then Natalie had a work thing last night, so she had to go to a dinner.
Yeah.
She actually got to go out and sing karaoke and all this stuff with her workmates. Is that a word? What the
hell
am I saying?
Sure. No,
colleagues?
Co-workers.
Co-workers, there you go.
Yeah.
Workmates.
Workmates will do it. Listen.
So condescending.
No,
her job is full-time. It's not part-time like mine.
You scored very high with modeling, so you can take a workmate.
Oh, good. How
yeah.
God, my brain is on fire right now. I'm trying so hard to say words. So the boys went to sleep, and I don't know. I'm kind of babbling because I'm a little off my game, to be honest with you. But I guess, again, to repeat myself for the 14th time, is take that moment to kind of check in, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and kind of go, why am I here? Why am I doing all this? Listen, I'm not trying to pretend like it doesn't suck a lot. I'm not ever going
to
be the guy who's going to turn over that leaf and go, guess what? It is all puppies and kittens and rainbows. It's a lot of horse shit involved. But it's funny is that I still haven't quite figured out that part of it. I haven't connected that dot is the why. I know that this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
My assumption is that, because I remember as a kid, is that I always wanted the challenge of trying to produce a productive part of society, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like the idea of me making a person and kind of guiding them and honing them to be somebody who could have not an impact necessarily on the world.
Yeah.
That was never my ambition, but a nice impact on the people around them.
Sure. It's like the ultimate DIY.
Right. It is. It is a do-it-yourself future.
Yeah.
Well done, Justin.
Yes.
All right. Here's the thing. I did not have a chance to talk to you about this because we were running late, but we're going to do a little moment of the week. And then, okay. Why are you looking at me like that?
It's Tuesday.
I know it's Tuesday, but here's why. And I didn't realize this until today when I was coming out here to do this. I should have spent less time playing Batman, more time looking at my week ahead.
Yes.
Everything changed within an email yesterday.
Uh-oh.
So my Friday, I have to produce a show in the 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific time slot, cool. And I am solo on this one. This is my first producing my own
solo
show.
Solo producer.
They have a fill-in guy who's, because it's the holiday weekend, so I'm going to take advantage of the holiday weekend. We are not going to record on Friday, July 3rd, so there will be no show on Sunday, July 5th, but we'll be back Tuesday, July 7th at 10 a.m. Pacific, because I couldn't pull it together and make it all happen. I apologize sincerely. So if you don't have a moment of the week, it's all on me. No worries. If not, I can kill time until you have one, but we'll close with that.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So we actually had one sent in from a listener.
Oh, excellent.
That I really liked. It says, hey, Justin and Paco, love the podcast. Just want to give you my moment of the week. My 4-year-old son told me after a long week at work, Dad, I love you like a fat kid loves cake. My mouth dropped. I said to myself, that's one hell of a compliment. And coming from a 4-year-old, I had to pat myself on the back. Thanks for all the good stuff you provide us every week. You make the hours behind a computer fly by. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's like a line. I'm sure it's a cliche, I'm guessing.
Right, right.
But from where I know it, it's like a rap song from like somebody named Old Dirty Bastard or 50 Cent or something like that. Which when I read it,
yes.
I was like, that's hilarious.
Right, right. We might want to call the authorities after that moment of the week.
No, it's great.
Check up on the kid. Make sure he's not.
I like that the kids listen to hardcore rap music.
At 4, yeah.
And takes it. But here's the thing. It takes it and then makes it into a very affectionate thing. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I love you like a fat kid loves cake, man. I really mean it.
And I'm picturing this 4-year-old with like a big gold chain that has a you know, pacifier on the end of it.
The Kanye West blind-looking sunglasses
yeah, right.
that look like Venetian blinds. It's like, but does it say it with like a ghetto accent? And it's just like, Dad, I love you like a fat kid loves cake.
Did you mean to say loves you?
Yeah, why?
Oh, you put the S in front. No,
yeah.
I'm just checking.
All right. So do you want to go?
Was that a phrase, by the way, that you heard at your culturally mixed birthday party?
No, it was not.
No.
Nobody said that.
Nobody said that.
Nobody said that
okay.
whatsoever.
Okay.
That I can remember.
That's fine. Yeah, no, I can manufacture something out of, you know, I always think when these moment of the weeks come around, I think of the three little pigs who are building houses out of straw
okay.
and feathers and wisps trying to paste it together to keep the wolf out. there's been sort of an ongoing thing. Well, there have been several ongoing things with Chad, but he doesn't get a lot of airtime now because there's not a lot of interaction between us. He's more like a border. Or like you had the rat infestation. It's a little similar to that, where he just comes out at night and takes food out of the cupboard
yes.
and disappears back
just
in his room.
Speaking of which, got another one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you caught another one.
Got another one. Yeah, I think we're up to 5 total. It's
oh,
fucking
wow.
horrible.
Oh, my
anyway,
God.
Anyway, back to you. Sorry.
That's okay. So, right, my moment of the week, dead rat. Okay.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much. In any case, he has, in a way, almost become nocturnal. His sleep schedule
right,
is so
yes.
screwed around. And he realized he was going to need to make a change with things that are coming up and whatnot. And I thought, well, this is a pretty good sign that at least it's not me yelling at him, you've got to do something, boy! And it's him saying it himself. So his plan, since he's up till 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning anyway, is to just stay through.
Yeah.
Just stay awake. And then he'll stay awake the rest of the day, and he'll crash that night. No, I know that's really not going to fix it in one shot. He has this, you know, fantasies that it will work. And so his idea is take me out for coffee at 7 in the morning, and then I'll be able to stay up through the day. And I'm like, it's not a magic pill.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could get caffeine from you know, Mountain Dew. We don't need to.
Yeah.
But Mountain Dew for breakfast. I'm like, you've never had coffee. It's a filthy,
that?
Horrible thing. So anyway. So it was come in tomorrow morning, take me to breakfast. Came in the next morning, absolutely asleep. I shook him. I mean, he was near dead. I couldn't get him out of bed. Slept all day again. Next night, he goes, let's do it tomorrow, right? I'm like, all right, we'll see.
Okay, you told us the first part of this.
Did I tell you that already?
This is the end.
I'm sorry if I
repeated. No, it's totally fine.
So then the next day,
I was worried for you.
He was going to go. He says I want to have breakfast and I get some coffee. And then it turns out we're going to go to this restaurant that Luna likes. And so now she's into the thing, and he's actually awake the next day, and as we're getting ready to go, and this is amazing. I mean, it never comes off like this, and he comes out of his room and goes, listen, there's this live stream thing going on, so can we make this quick? And I'm like, the breakfast and the whole thing. No, you know what? I just need the coffee now. So we get in the car, and we drive to this restaurant.
The joy of teenagers.
Yeah. And I say, all right, Doreen, well, all right, Luna, I'll let you out. You get on the list because there's a long wait for this place for breakfast. It's amazing. And then we can hook up in the Starbucks, which is right next door, and you can have your coffee while you're waiting for the table. And he goes, no, I don't need the table anymore. I just want the coffee. And so I'm like, oh, my God. So this is the second day in a row that I had promised my stomach breakfast from this amazing place, and now it looks like I'm not getting it. And then there was talk about maybe leaving Luna and driving him home and then coming back and having – it was all of this stuff. In the end, he goes into Starbucks with her, gets a – what did she get him? A mocha, you know, like a basically a milkshake that flavored coffee. And he drinks it in the car as we go back home. No breakfast for Dad, no breakfast for Mom, just whatever there was at home. Gets home, that was probably 9 in the morning at that point. 9:45, completely asleep, dead and out for the rest of the day. There is no getting through to him. And so I just gave up at that point. Completely gone. And that was
a couple
of days ago. And then I got up as I was coming over here. The door to his room opened, which is unheard of at this hour of the day, and he walked out fully dressed. So whatever he did it on his own, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So even
later
though
today.
To the rest of the world it sounded like it failed, it totally worked.
I don't even know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So I thought, well, there's hope for this kid yet.
You know what that makes me think of?
What?
The bounce back of a teenager. You know what I mean? Like just the ability to go, fuck it. I don't believe in physics. I don't believe in any of your, you know what? You could take this thumb of mine and shove it up your ass, Dr. Oz, because I get hopped up on high fructose corn syrup and be just fine the next day.
Right. The laws of nature do not apply.
They do not apply to teenagers.
Anyway, when I go back over when this is over and I find him dead asleep, I'll let you know, but up to this point, we're good.
So mine are with Jack. It was pretty fun. We were just in the pool. It was interesting to watch Jack. He was in an inner tube kind of thing, and he was swimming around and doing really good and then was trying to noodle. And, you know, you have that. It's like teaching them to ride a bike. I didn't actually teach him to swim. He almost drowned, but still the point. No, I'm kidding. I didn't really teach him to swim.
The bike kept dragging him down.
No, the lifeguard kept saving his ass. Which, by the way, is another part of the story I forgot to tell with the lifeguard pool party. He was there, and it was just me with my kids and, like, one other parent. Or there was another mom there who I know. And so I said, he's just kind of chilling. I said, what if we decide to drown our kid? Do you still have to intervene? Like, if I'm forcing?
Oh, no.
And he goes, he didn't know what to do.
I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure that poor guy didn't.
It was great. And then the mom who organized it, this is why I like this mom. She was all, not only does she have sangria at her kid's birthday party, she also goes, aren't you hot? Take off your shirt. He goes, no, I'm good. She goes, what do you think you're here for?
Oh, my God. That guy
sexually
is crying himself
the
to sleep. Yeah.
Oh, come on. No, she's a pretty lady. He's doing just fine. Trust me. He got fed and everything. So, anyway. Okay. I was just kind of holding him by his chest, and it was kind of a cute thing, and Natalie was there swimming. It was just a fun kind of family day.
Right, your son, not the lifeguard.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah, great. Natalie's making out with a lifeguard. But the great moment was that day it was the Monday. The Monday before we went to go see the movie, we're having lunch, and I made like a little bean burrito for Jacob, and he had taken a piece of the tortilla, this makes me laugh so hard, and stuck it to his cheek. Uh-huh. Right, and was eating, and he waited like a minute, and then he said, "Jack, do I have something on my face?" like as straight and deadpan as you possibly. And, it, right, and Jacob right. is not like the crack up. Like he's not the guy who's like cow, cow. Like
right, right.
But just so perfectly executed. Like he sat it there. He put it on the cheek facing me. Waited a minute, like, and then just turned to where it revealed it to his brother. Said, Jack, do I have something on my face? And it was great because it was so fucking funny, so yeah. perfectly timed. And his four-year-old brother just gave him a, yeah, you got a tortilla right there. But it was not like a little, it was like a two-inch, right. it covered his entire cheek, piece of tortilla. And I started laughing hysterically. And then Jacob looks at me like I'm a crazy person. Not right. part of the bit.
No.
Now he's like, what's, what? What's so funny? I go, what you did, that was hilarious. He was like, yeah. what do you mean? It wasn't that funny. Like, I was like, fuck you, that's funny. So that was my little moment of the week. All right, send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. We got more questions if you want to send them in for Dr. J. We're recording with him on July 15th. That's a Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. You can send those in via email or via the Facebook page at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Want to follow any of us on Twitter? It is all in the description of this episode. Paco's got an Instagram account. Check the description to get that if you want to see pictures from the studio here live while we're doing the show. Check out Justin is married, Booker is single. And please help continue to spread the word about the show. I had a very nice email.
Yes.
From so, what's so funny?
I'm just laughing because I have this project, which is that I send pictures live. Do I have something on my face? No, you're just...
No, I'm listening to you.
Listening to me, all right.
Oh, I rub my own face.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, like you as though you had the goatee.
I'm going to start doing that to you now.
Good.
While you're talking to rub my nose.
I'm charged.
Do my eyebrow like this.
I took on this the onus of
I'm fucking with him so bad.
This is a visual, not a visual. All right. I'm supposed to take the pictures, right?
Yeah.
And this is fine. I love to do it. I love the idea of it. Yeah. The one thing is, Adam, don't really take pictures of me, though, because I'm tired of the message I get is it makes you uncomfortable when I take your picture.
It doesn't make you comfortable.
But, so I'm like, what can I take a picture? There's only two of us in here. And I'm looking at you the whole time.
All right, we'll take a picture. I won't wear it out.
Okay.
Listener at home, I'm in the middle of talking to you.
I know you are.
It's like, imagine having a conversation. This is what it is. Like, everybody, picture in your head that there's a desk, okay, in between Paco and I. Paco's on one side. You're seeing it from my angle. So you're seeing Paco with a set of headphones, right? And so you're having a conversation with him.
Take a picture of me and I'll do it.
You think that you're having a conversation. And then creepily, like that Will Ferrell bit from Anchorman, where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. And they just slide. A phone just comes up in your field of vision.
Periscope.
Yeah, pointing at you. You tell me how I'm supposed to keep it together when that just randomly happens.
We'll have to work on my whatever it is. However, what will be comfortable.
I can do it. It's just,
I know.
Just take a picture. Even if I comment on it, then everybody knows the exact moment.
Okay.
It's just hard when you're in the middle of saying something. Just like I just rub my lips while you were saying something. You're like, do I have something on my face? Imagine when somebody's trying to photograph you, or it doesn't, but you forget that they're taking a picture because you're just holding the phone up, but you're looking at the phone, but trying to pass it off like the rest of your body isn't, I'm still here with you. Don't pay no attention to this reality TV show phone that's just coming into the shot.
Now, hang on a second. We had just done 5 minutes on, hey, you've got something on your face.
Yeah.
And so I thought you were doing a callback or something when you started adjusting your face. So that's why I was particularly distracted by that. Under normal circumstances, you might have touched your face 100 times while we've been here. I wouldn't have noticed it was that conversation. But in any case, that's why I was laughing.
All right, fair enough.
And that is why the picture today is the picture that it is. It's already been posted.
Everyone
who's been listening to this can go see why.
That's
right. You know.
He told me, he goes, turn the red light on. And I go, why? He goes, so I could take a picture.
Right.
I said, oh, okay. All right, so that's our show. Paco's going to tell us about our Amazon banner.
Here's the thing, people. These boys need your money, and there's a way that you can do this. You can go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom, and there's the Amazon banner, as big as you please. And when you click on it, it will take you through to Amazon. You'll bookmark that site. And every time you return using that bookmark and you buy something, these two 1%ers, I'm sorry, these two 99%ers will get a little something. I fucked up my own bit. Thank you.
Thank you, Constipated Michael Caine. On behalf of Constipated Michael Caine, Baco Lanzini, a.k.a. I'm Dooley, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everybody. Happy 4th of July. We'll see you Tuesday.